All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of ER, Stephen Terry Zinn, for dedicating the Shir, Shiurim, this month in honor of their newest grandson, Matan Shmuel Aaron. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Emeritz Hashem, the young man, should grow to be an incredible man to our Me'eva Esim Shanim Tovos. So also with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Lamed Tes 39. We are actually picking up on the bottom of Lamed Ches, please, where we left off in yesterday's shir, incredible daf we had in yesterday's. So we'll say, so we are picking up Lamed Ches, 38b. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Ein Egla Arufa Ba, Ela Bishil Tzarei Ha'ayin. It's 2, 4, 5 lines up from before the lines get wide on the bottom. So if you remember, again, we ended off yesterday with the Gemara introducing us to the concept of Tzarei Ha'ayin, which we loosely translated as stinginess. But what we understood to mean, a much greater midah of a person who's just unwilling to give of himself. We spoke about, again, that ultimately stinginess in one area of life ultimately translates into stinginess in other areas of life. When a person is often stingy and doesn't want to give up their money, they're often unwilling to give up their emotions, they're unwilling to give up their time, they're unwilling to give up all their other resources. So in the Gemara, you use lashon of tzarei ayin. That's why, again, there, if you want to just to speak about financial stinginess, there are much more precise words and terms that you use. Tzarei ayin is in general a person, when the eyes are narrowed, right, you see less. The idea is that a person doesn't see, doesn't want to see the needs of others, the wants of others, but again, has closed their eyes to a heightened degree, so all they're able to see is themselves. Shabbat Shabbat Levi, Ein Egla Rufa Ba, Ela Bishul Tzarei Ayin. Egla Rufa only comes because of tzarei, because of stinginess. What is that? Remember again, what's the case of Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa is you find someone murdered in between two cities. You don't know who the murderer was. They measure the closest city to where the body is found. The elders of that city come out, and there's a whole process. They decapitate a calf. They go ahead and they wash their hands over the calf, and they make the declaration, Yadenu lo shafchu dam zeh. We have not spilled this blood. So the Gemara says as follows: Egla Rufa is only brought because of tzarei ayin shneimar. We're going to see that actually Sota has an entire perek devoted to the process of Egla Arufa, which we'll discuss. So the Gemara says, but one second, would it ever cross our minds? Sir, can you imagine the scene? The elders of the Beis Din of the closest city say, we did not spill the blood. So the Gemara says, did we ever assume that the elders of the Beis Din spilled the blood? Chas v'shalom, ela lo bali adino pachinu v'lo reinu v'nichu. Rather, what they're saying is like this: we did not see this individual and allow him to depart our city without going ahead and escorting him. Lo bali adino pachinu v'lo mazonos, lo reinu v'nichu v'lo levia. Shabbos said the idea over here is what they're trying to say is, we did not see him and chas v'shalom neglect to take care of his needs. So you see from here the Gemara is saying is that they associate a person being murdered in the middle of nowhere with the fact that no one took care of him, right? That no one bothered to give him provisions, that no one bothered to go ahead and escort him out. So the elders of this city are held accountable to a certain degree, and they have to make the declaration, we did not see this individual and chas v'shalom allow him to go out without being cared for. It's so profound. Amrav Adar Mismaloi. Basak Neses. Back to Duchening. Basak Neses. Shekula Kohanim. What happens if you have a shul that is all Kohanim? So what's the halacha? Kulan olin l'duchen. Ultimately, everyone goes up to Duchen. Everyone goes up to Duchen. So if that's the case, l'mim avarchin. So if that's the case, again, who are they blessing? Right, again, if everyone goes up to Duchen, so who's left to receive the bracha? Am Rav Zera la'achem shebisados. This is beautiful. Who do they bless? They bless the workers in the field. Because we'll say, again, Rashi says over here, da'anisi b'malachtan v'nichon lavo. Sometimes there are workers who are unable to come to shul. And because they're unable to come to shul, they're unable to hear birchas kohanim. So therefore, again, even if you have a shul of all kohanim, they all ascend. They give brachas. Who are they giving a bracha to? Birchas kohanim, to the workers in the field who are anisim, who because of extenuating circumstances are not able to come to shul to get the brachas. Any? So I'm saying, does that work? for Kohanim to give brachas to people who aren't in shul. But Vatani Abba Breid Rabbi Yom Markiya Am Shechori Kohanim Einon Bichla Bracha. You know, let's say a principle. If you are standing behind the Kohanim, you do not get the bracha. You do not get the bracha. Only the people standing in front of the Kohanim are getting the bracha. So I'll say, so if that's the case, then how could a Kohanim go ahead and give brachas to Am Sheb Sados, to people who are out in the field? Lo kasha, hada anisi, hada lo anisi. Okay, I will say, it depends. If one is talking about an extenuating circumstance, and one is not an extenuating circumstance. If you're not in an extenuating circumstance and you stand behind the Kohanim, you will not receive the bracha. On the other hand, if it is an extenuating circumstance, then even if you're standing behind the Kohanim, you can receive the bracha. So we'll say a really beautiful Gemara. So the idea of here is even a shul that is all Kohanim, everyone goes up, gives the bracha. Who are they giving the bracha to? Ultimately, again, Am Shebesados, the people ultimately in the fields. Incredible. We'll say, now again, it doesn't apply as much to a shul like ours, where you can't really be behind the Kohanim, right? There's nowhere to be behind the Kohanim, but it is an important, we'll say, it is an important, sometimes in the setup of shuls, the platform, the duchen, so to speak, where the Kohanim duchen from, you can have areas on the side, which we're going to talk about size in just a moment, but they're potentially behind. So a person has to be careful that ultimately, again, they are in front of the Kohanim when the Kohanim are delivering the bracha. But so the Gemara says, "V'atani abzimi mi birta d'shichuri beisakneset shekula Kohanim miktsasen olim miktsasen onin amin." What does Rabbi say? Rabbi Simi says that no, if you have a shul that's all Kohanim, they don't all go to ascend. Rather, what happens? Some go to give the bracha and some stay behind. So that's a contradiction. We just said before, if it's a shul of all Kohanim, everyone goes up to give the bracha. Lo kasha, hadi ishtayir be'asara, hodolo ishtayir be'asara. It's very interesting. If some of the Kohanim could go up and leave a minion of Kohanim to, so to speak, receive the bracha, then that's what you do. Some go up. If you have at least two or more, can go up. Let the some go up, or even one or more, they can go up. Let one go up or more. And then as long as there's 10 left, then indeed they would split. So we'll say, so two different models. If you have 11 or more Kohanim, then what will happen is one will go up, 10 remain, so to speak, in the congregation to be able to receive the bracha. What happens if you have exactly 10, then everyone comes up. Yochins, who are they blessing? Am Shebesados. Next, ideally, one should make sure to always be in front of the Kohanim when they're delivering the bracha. But if there's an ones, if there's some kind of extenuating circumstance, then even people behind the Kohanim still receive the bracha. Incredible. Gufa. Tana Abba Breid Rami Yom Merchiyo. Am Shechori Kohanim Einam Bichla Bracha. The people behind the Kohanim are not included in the bracha. Tzorba say, now listen to this. So Pshita, Arichi Ba'api Gutsi Lo Mafsiki. Teva lo mafsika. So we'll say, it's obvious, we'll say, listen to this case. Let's say I'm in shul, right? I'm in Israel. So I'm in front of a Kohanim, but there's a very tall person in standing in front of me. So we'll say, does that person serve as a hefsik, right? As like a barrier to me in the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, of course not. First of all, we'll say, one Jew can never serve as a hefsik, right? One Jew can never serve as a barrier in front of another Jew. Chas Hashem, no such thing like that, right? We're all one, we're all ish echad b'lev echad. So obviously, standing behind a short person, standing behind a tall person, is not going to go ahead and cause any type of barrier, right? Similarly, if I'm standing behind the aro, so I want to say this would be an interesting case as well. The layout is such, let's say for argument's sake, that the place where the Kohanim go ahead and duchen from is behind the aron. So if you can imagine, again, there's Kohanim, aron, and then me. Obviously, the aron is not going to serve as a barrier as well. But what about mechitza? I would say, what about a mechitza? An actual mechitza? I will say, now the truth is, it's such an interesting shayla, because then what would this mean? The shayla is definitely for women, right? For women who are behind the mechitza. So again, it's an interesting idea. Here you have an actual physical barrier. So what if you have women behind the mechitza, or for that matter, again, men behind the mechitza? Let's say again, sometimes, whatever the reason, people in shul like to be behind. You know, the mechitzas over there. I don't know. I think there's like a chavrusa, maybe a small shiur that happens there at different times during davening. Right? Wine tastings. I don't know whatever they're doing. Right? So, lemaisa, again, what happens if I am actually behind a mechitza during Birkas Kohen? What does that do? This is so beautiful. Tashra Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, afilu mechitza shel barzel, eina mafsekes ben Yisrael avim shel bashamayim. They must say, remember again, what are the Kohanim doing? The Kohanim ultimately, again, are supposed to be the conduit of the Ribono Shel Olam's bracha to us. See, when the Kohanim are blessing us, I will say, it's not really the bracha of the Kohanim. We call it Berchas Kohanim. But whose bracha is it really? It's the Ribono Shel Olam's bracha that they are bringing down through them. I will say, there is no barrier in the world. That could ultimately, again, interpose between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no barrier in the world. You could be standing behind a steel reinforced wall, right? That's 30 feet thick and 20 feet high. But if those Kohanim give you that bracha, as long as you're standing in front of them, ideally, Lanaisa, you get that bracha. We'll say such a... And I just want to point out, this Gemara is one of the most profound statements of Chizuk. Because we'll say, there are different types of walls that we erect in life. There are physical barriers, and then there are spiritual barriers. And the spiritual barriers are often created through negative activity. And a lot of times in life, because of bad decisions and wrong turns and big mistakes that I've made in life, often I feel like I've erected a wall between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true, sometimes that wall is very much there, and sometimes I think that that wall prevents closeness. And I said, then you open up a Gemara like this, and you hear, I feel the Mechitza Shel Barzel, there is no wall. No matter how tall, no matter how thick, no matter how strong, that could ever keep me from the Ribono Shel Olam. No matter how many mistakes, no matter how many wrong turns, no matter how many times I've messed up, that connection, that relationship, that love is always present. Nothing could ever remove it, and nothing could ever block me from the person, not person, from the entity, from the Ribono Shel Olam, the entity that loves me most in this entire universe. Such an incredible Gemara. Bailo, stud in mouth. Shavuos, so here's what we know. You're supposed to stand in front of the Kohanim. You can't stand in back of the Kohanim. What about on the sides of the Kohanim? Right? And I will say, as I mentioned before, that could really happen. Because again, you see this in a lot of shuls, where let's say, again, if you can imagine, we'll call it the platform, right? The platform leading to the Aron Kodesh. See, by us, it extends all the way out. In many shuls, it doesn't extend all the way out, right? So you have people sitting on the side, So it's an important shayla. Do the people from the sides have to relocate to the front, or is it okay to stand by the sides of the Kohanim during Dochanim? Incredible. So the verse, Amar Abba Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Tashma, the Snan. Niskavim Hazos Lefanav, Swazay, it's not a Kohen. Right, the Kohen has to do this riga, so the sprinkling of the blood. That's not sprinkling of blood. This is the sprinkling of the waters of the Paraduma. You're talking about over here, where Allah said again, actually this could be either one. You have Kalim that, let's say again, are ritually impure. You want to sprinkle waters of Paraduma on it, or for that matter, again, people as well, or any zrikas that a Kohen wants to do. It's Kavin Lahazos Lefanav, he had Kavanah to sprinkle in front of it. Top of Lamites, Vihiza Lachorov, but he ends up sprinkling in back of him. Rashi says over here, Af the Af Sham Hayu Kalim Atzrichin Azah. It's talking about over here, Kalim, right, utensils which are impure with Tumas Mace. The same way that you remedy Tumas Mace in people with Para Aduma waters, right? So to Kalim, you remedy with Para Aduma waters. So let's say again, your intention was to sprinkle in front of you, but instead you went ahead and what? Sprinkled in back of you. Or you wanted to sprinkle in back of you, but instead what happened? You sprinkled in front of you. Such a sprinkling is possible. Rabbi said, now why is that? So Rashi says, Haza'aso psula, deba'inan kavana letara kidichsev, vihiza hatahar al hatame shem iskavelo. Why, Rabbi said, it's actually very interesting. Why? Because Lamaisa Hazah, sprinkling requires kavana. So Sprinkling requires kavanah. It requires specific intent. So in other words, in order for it to work, you have to have kavanah for the direction that you're sprinkling in and actually execute that kavanah. Good. So the Gemara, listen to this. Lefanav, vihiza alat stodin shelefanav. Listen to this. Let's say you had kavanah to sprinkle on the kelim in front of you. But instead of directly in front of you, what did you do? You sprinkled on the utensils to the side of you. Haza asuk shela. Your sprinkling is kosher. People say, what does that show you? What does that show you? That items to the side have the same status as items in the front. Therefore, again, the Gemara wants to suggest, same thing applies to duchenim. People standing on the side of the kohanim are what? The same as people standing in front of the kohanim themselves. And therefore, again, one would be yotzei berachas, or one would receive the bracha of the berachas kohanim. Beautiful. Amar Rava. So Rabbi said, now we're transitioning a little bit. So Amar Rava. So therefore, Rabbi said, what comes out is, you can't stand behind, but you can stand on the sides and in front. Now, we'll see, ideally, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that everyone should stand in front. So ideally, if you're standing on the sides, it is absolutely best to relocate in front. But again, b'diavad, if one didn't get halacha l'maisa, one is still yotzei berachas kohanim.
Can't you move around the front? If you're in the back of the kohanim?
Yeah, you can always move around.
But then, why would, you say it would still be okay if you're
in an ones case, like we saw before in the Gemara, in an ones case, I'm Shebesados. In Ones case, where you can't move around, correct. If you can move around and you don't move around, if you're behind the kohanim, you are not yotzei. If you're an Ones, like the people working in the field, then even if you're behind, you are yotzei. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rava Barafuna. We'll say, by the way, so I just want to point out this pretty much this sugya. That's berachas kohanim. So we are a lot of interest from the kohanim. From the Kanam about the preemptive duchening shifts, and we're going to do that. The Karabkins have agreed to host. We're looking for Levium to be wait staff. So they're going to have the Mirat Hashem the opportunity again for everyone to get involved in Mirat Hashem. But and even non Kohanim will be invited as well, because it's true. As you can see, it's incredible. It's fascinating because everyone has to know what to do, right? Kohanim have to know what to do. Again, we didn't speak about Levium. But remember, Levium absolutely have a very, like everything in Levium have an incredibly crucial and pivotal support role in the preparation for God. And obviously, again, we Yisraelim have an obligation in this as well, because again, we have to know what to do as well. So we're not totally finished yet. We're going to loop back. Rabbi said, let's go. Amar Rava Barafuna. Kevan Sheniftach Sefer Torah. As L'Saper. Avidu B'dvar Locha. Let's listen to this. Once the Sefer Torah is open, one is not permitted to speak. One is not permitted to speak, even Dvar Halacha, even Dvar Torah. So this is a very, very, very important Halacha. The logic is Kavarat Torah. Once that scroll is open, one is not permitted to speak at all, even words of Torah. Shneamar, quoting over here the Pasuk from Nehemiah, Obepischo. Literally, when it was opened, now we'll say amdu kala'am means everyone stood. But amida doesn't have to mean standing. Amida means silence. So the incredible halakha. So once the Sefer Torah is opened, one is really not permitted to speak at all. Even with words of Torah, that is a deferential stance that one is supposed to maintain during the entire Kriyas HaTorah. Amar Yishuv ben Levi, back to Kohen. Kohen shelo natal yadav lo yisas kapav. Any Kohen who does not wash his hands is not permitted to duchen. Shneimar, su'u yideichen kodesh, ubarchu es Hashem. Only after you go out and you sanctify your hands are you permitted to go ahead and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll see, here we go. Watch this Gemara. Shalu Tamida is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. The students asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua the following question. Bema ha'erachta yamin. And I will say, these Gemaras are my favorite Gemaras. You find them sprinkled throughout Shas, where essentially you have students asking their Rabbeim, Bema ha'erachta yamin. And I will say, we often translate this as, how have you merited longevity? I'll take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Right? They're asking the Rebbe, what's the chus? Like, what merit do you attribute your longevity to? And Rebbe was saying, here's what's interesting about this. If it was really speaking about actual longevity, the more precise way to phrase that question would have been, b'ma ha'arachta shanim. Shanim. B'ma ha'arachta yamin does not have to mean actual longevity. B'ma ha'arachta yamin means, how have you merited to infuse meaning into your days? Ha'arachta yamin. You see, Abba say, what's the goal? What's the goal of every single day? Right? What's the goal? What's the goal? Maximization. See, I can't create more time, right? Time is a finite, fixed construct, at least for us. What I try to do is prolong the day. How do you prolong the day? By maximizing the meaning within each and every day. What they're asking Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua is, Rebbe, yeah, how did you manage to live a life of we'll call it daily maximization? How did you elongate? How did you prolong? How did you squeeze the maximum amount of meaning from each and every day? I will say, is this not the core question we ask ourselves every single day when we wake up? How can I merit? I will say, this is by the way, if you notice, that every single time the Torah speaks out longevity, the Torah almost always phrases it in terms of Ikabides Avicha Basimecha. L'man ya'arichun yamecha. It doesn't say l'man ya'arichun shinosecha, right? L'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem. Whenever the Torah speaks out what we think is longevity, it's not longevity. It's not about talking about how long you live. But say, can I tell you something? The reality is, how long you live is not, that's not what we're looking for. I'm not necessarily looking for biological length of life. What I'm looking for is maximization of my days. Whether I live many years or chas v'shalom, I live few years. What I'm looking to know in life is, do I have arichus yamin? Did I prolong? Did I maximize each and every day? That's the goal. So they're asking the Rebbe, how do you manage to maximize each and every day? So look what he writes. It's actually quite interesting. Amar lahem, mi yamai lo asisi beis hakneses kapendaria. It's interesting. I will say, and what's always fascinating is what these rabbeim answer. I will say, so literally translated, I never use the shul as a shortcut. As a shortcut, I was going to say, right, sometimes again you need to get right from point A to point B. So I will say, right, you're walking a 7 mile lane, you want to go ahead, you need to get, what's the street right behind the shul? Wallace. Where Aaron Weinberg lives.
Wallace, right?
So you want to write to 7 mile, you want to get to Wallace. What's the easiest way? It's good to know. To get from 7 mile into Wallace is come in the front door, come on the front to the shul, walk straight through the shul, right? Or come diagonally. Mamish, it'll shave like 35 seconds off your walk, right? It's incredible, right? So 35 seconds, you could do a lot in 35 seconds, right? You can't use the shul as a shortcut, right? So he said, I never used the shul as a shortcut. Below, pasati arashe besak neses. And I will say, I'm sorry, below pasati arashe am kodesh. I never, I will say now, literally, I never walked on the heads of holy Jews. And I will say, what this is referring to is, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua was saying, was it used to be that the Talmidim, the students, would sit on the floor, and the Rebbe would sit like on a chair. So what was the problem? If the Rebbe came late to shir, or not even late, if let's say he came after the students, so he would walk through them, it would look like he was walking on top of them. So what he was saying, right? So therefore he's saying, I made sure to never make it look like I was walking on the heads of my students. V'lo nasasi kapi b'lo bracha. And I never dochint without a bracha. So I will say, these are the three things that he attributes his ultimately, again, maximization of his days to. I will say, if you look at these three things, they're incredibly profound. Let's take a look at them very quickly, one by one. I never made the shul a shortcut. I will say, the shul of Beis HaKnesses represents the epicenter of spiritual activity. What is he saying? I lived a life where I realized there's no life hacks, right? There's no hacks. There's no shortcuts for ruchnius. For ruchnius, I will say, if you want to establish a spiritual identity, there's only one way to do it, and that is daily hard work. There is no such thing as a shortcut, right? They all say, in life, we're always looking for a shortcut. We're looking for a hack, right? Give me an app, right? Give me an app for it, right? Make it easier. And it's beautiful, by the way. There are many wonderful apps for many things that absolutely make life much easier, right? I just recently got a new thermostat installed in my house, and now I can control heating. I feel like the ribono shel olam of my temperature of my home, right? In other words, I could be anywhere in the world, and I could decide, you know what, it should be here. No more schwitzing when you come in the house, or shivering when you come in the house. Incredible. I know you're thinking about this. It's been around for like 15 years, this technology. Okay, whatever, like a shtickel Amish in this way, right? You know what I'm saying? So incredible. In other words, so there are many wonderful ways to make your life easier. When it comes to ruchnius, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. We'll say the only way to do it is to plug away at it day after day after day. And by the way, you may have noticed, even when you plug away day after day, it doesn't get easier. It doesn't get easier. Sometimes it even gets a little bit harder. Sometimes the more you push yourself, the more the friction back is. That's number one. He said, I recognize I never look for shortcuts in my ruchnius. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Osai, he said, I never went ahead and lo pasati arashi am kodesh. Never trample on another Jew. Always be careful with the ahavta l're'acha kamocha. Do whatever you can to, first of all, uplift another, but at least, do no harm is not just a din for doctors, right? It's a din for everyone. Do no harm. Do not go ahead and trample on. Isn't that part of the Hippocratic Oath? Good. So ultimately, again, help, right? Lo pasad roshim. I never did anything that would ever chas v'shalom, trample upon, hurt another, or do anything to denigrate the other. And I will say number three, I never duchen the dad a bracha. I will say, what's a bracha? A bracha is a preparatory act. I recognize that if you want to maximize your spiritual activity, it requires preparation. You can't just roll into ruchnius. If you want it to be something meaningful, if you want it to be something transformative, if you want it to be something uplifting, you have to put yourself in the right headspace. You have to prepare yourself. You have to make the bracha, so to speak. You have to go ahead and do the necessary preparations so as to maximize the scope of your spiritual activity. And we'll say three ingredients for successful daily living. Number one, recognize no shortcuts to spirituality. Number two, recognize never push yourself up or propel your, or never push yourself up by trampling on the dignity of another. Do everything you can to preserve the dignity of another Jew. Number three, if you want your ruchnius to be impactful, spend the time to prepare. Put yourself in the right mindset and in the right headspace in order to be able to maximize spiritual activity. Incredible. Mai Mavarech. By the way, what is the bracha that a Kohen makes before he duchens? Mai Mavarech. I'm Rabbi Seira, I'm Rav Chista, Hashem Yitzham B'Kdusha Social Aaron, V'Tzivano Levarech Esamo Yisrael B'Ahava. So beautiful. I will say it's the bracha. It's always exciting. You want to say, no, isn't it always exciting? Like when you see something in the Gemara that is the same. So many times, like we see something in the Gemara, and what do you say? What do you say to yourself? Like, that looks familiar. Right? Like a little bit familiar. Right? It's not totally. It's always exciting when you see something that is exactly the same. Right? This is the bracha. Asher kiddushana b'kiddusha social rabosai. You have sanctified us. Kohanim. You've sanctified us with the kiddusha of Aaron HaKohen. V'tzivanu, you have commanded us, levarich es amo Yisrael, to bless the Jewish people, bi'ahava, with love. You can't be a Kohen who blesses Klal Yisrael if you are not a descendant of Aaron. And you cannot be a descendant of Aaron. Family tree is not enough. You have to have Aaron love for Klal Yisrael as well. If you don't have the love, if you don't have the love, there's much written in the Poskim about this, about angry Kohanim who should not duchen. Like Kohanim who don't like people who should not duchen. Kohanim who are not liked by people who should not duchen. The criteria for getting up to duchen is not simply being able to trace your family lineage to Aaron HaKohen, but it's to be a Jew who lives bi'ahava, a Jew who loves other Jews, a Jew who is a true spiritual descendant of Aaron HaKohen as well. Oy ben Sabrios. So beautiful. Let's listen to this. Remember we spoke about yesterday? When does a Kohen ascend to Duchen? When does he go up? Ritzei. Now remember again, really the ikar is he has to begin his movement towards the front of the shul during Ritzei. I will say, what does a Kohen say when he's going ahead and moving his feet right, walking up during Ritzei? It should be your will, Hashem. That this bracha that you have commanded us to bless Klal Yisrael, ultimately, again, there should be no stumbling block and no sin. So the Kohen doubts. We'll say, so the Gemara says, as the Kohen is walking up, as he's moved his seat, he's walking up to Dochen, he should be reciting this Yihi Ratzon. That Ribono Shel Olam, I'm here to be your conduit. Don't let there be any stumbling block in me. In me. Right? They will say, remember again, the Kohen can only be the conduit if what? If what? If there's no blockage. We'll say, so you see, there's something amazing. We always think about Birchas Kohanim in terms of what Birchas Kohanim means for us, the Yisraelim. But I will say, I will tell you, it turns out that Birchas Kohanim is a tremendous moment of tshuva for Kohanim themselves. Because what a Kohen is recognizing is, in order to be an effective conduit, you can't have any blockages, right? And if you have blockages, like chait, like other things, then the bracha can't flow through you. So it's almost as if in those moments, as the Kohen is ascending, he says this, Yerushalayim, Hashem, it should be your will. It should be your will that I should be able to bless Klal Yisrael, v'lo yehei, lo yehei ba michshol v'avon. Don't let there be any stumbling block or sin. It's in that moment that a Kohen does tshuva as well. I hereby do tshuva for everything I've done. Now that I've done tshuva, the bracha could flow, could course right through me. So we'll say, now this is talking about after you finish the bracha. So we'll say, so here's what we have, right? So we know, so going a little bit out of order, when he up, when right, when he moves his feet to go up for a tzei, says the yiratzel. Right now he's up by duchening. Then again, the bracha of asher g'tshabi k'shaso sh'aro, good. What about when duchening is over? So I will say, now remember again, what do Kohanim do when duchening is over? They turn back facing the Aron. When a Kohen turns back, what does he say? My Amar. Adabir Rav Chista l'Rav Ukva v'Darash. I will say, here it is. Here's what they say. Here's what they say. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Asinu ma shegazart aleinu. We have done, we, Kohanim, have done what you commanded upon us, i.e. we blessed your children. Asei imanu. Now you do for us what you promised us. And what did you promise us? I will say, this is so beautiful. Look down from your holy abode and bless Klal Yisrael. In other words, I will say, what the Kohanim are saying is, we did what you asked of us, which is to be the conduit of blessing. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are the Kohanim saying? Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deliver. Deliver. Right? We did it. We did our part. Now you HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliver. So beautiful. Amar Chista. Eno kam Roshan Lakov Kishu Esbel Sein Ad Shi Yachzru Pneim Min HaTzibor. But so we know that the Kohanim have their hands outstretched. Right? Their hands outstretched and their fingers spread apart. Right? When they're facing the Kehillah, they do not go, they keep that posture until they turn around. Right? So they're facing the Kehillah, giving the Bracha. Bracha is finished. Right? Shalom. Bracha is finished. They turn around, hands still outstretched. They only go ahead and, I don't know what's the right word, release, right? Release their hands after they've turned around facing the Aron Kodesh again. Arav Ziram and Chista. So I will say, Eina Kohanim Rashay Likros Kohanim, Ad Sheikh La Amim Biat Sibor. So I will say, listen to this. Ultimately, the Chista, I will say, this is actually very important. So this is now a din, I will say, more like in the Shliach Tzibor. The Kore. So I will say, I want to point something out. Remember, the person who calls out to the Kohanim does not have to be the Shliach Tzibor. Right? We actually had this, right? When did we have this? Gabi, when was it? Second day, last day Yontif? Last day Yontif, right? So I want to say, so the person, what we call the Makri, so to speak, the bride, does not, it happens to be, often we just do it as the Shliach Tzibor, but it does not have to be the Shliach Tzibor. So I want to listen to this. So the person who's going to call out Kohanim should wait ultimately again until Amen, right? The Atov Shimcha Lechana Elahodos, right? Until the Tzibor finishes Amen. After that Amen, then he should wait until the Tzibor finishes saying Amen, then Kohanim. Similarly, then Kohanim Rashan Lasil Mebracha Achichla Dibor Mipia Kore. So we'll say, same idea. The Kohanim should not begin the Bracha until the Makri finishes saying Kohanim. The idea of Rav Say is let everyone finish their speaking part until we go on to the next part. Similarly, the Einat Sibor Rasha Lanos Amen Ad Shetech LaBracha Mebiyah Kohanim. The tzibor should not answer amen until when? Until the kohanim finish making the bracha. Then the kohanim rashan lahasil b'bracha acheres ad shichlam mipi hatzibor. Now, both remember again, similarly again outside of the Beis Hamikdash, where again we recite each phrase of berachas kohanim independently, right? So the kohanim go ahead and say, let's say for example, yishmerecha, right? First line, right? Yishmerecha. Shabbos says, so the Kohanim go ahead and say Yishmerecha. We Yisraelim, should wait to say Amen until when? Until when? Until they finish the Yishmerecha. Right? The idea is, let the Kohanim complete the word, then we answer Amen. The Ein, HaKohanim HaShon LaHaskal Bracha Acheres, Ad Shichlam Piyatzibor. And the Kohanim should not start the next stanza, so to speak, until we finish saying Amen. Shabbos says, so again, the idea being over here is, there's a lot of stuff going on at Birchas Kohanim, right? You've got Chazaras Hashatz, you've got the Makri calling out, you've got Kohanim answering. The idea is, don't start the next section until ultimately, again, you've finished the matter at hand. Shabbos said, by the way, is just an incredible metaphor for life as well, which is so often what happens in life is, right, we start on something, and then you know what happens, right? Maybe sometimes that initiative loses that new initiative smell. So what happens? You move on to the next thing. And I will say, for many of us in life, what we have is, we have like a whole bunch of like half-started stuff going on in life. Right? I will say, you know what the Gemara is saying is? When you start something, finish it. Now, of course, does it mean sometimes in life I'm working on multiple things at the same time? Of course. But I will say, finish it. Whatever you have, in other words, if it's possible, if it's something that you started, and there's the possibility to just get it done now, get it done. And then, move on to the next thing. God Abba says, goodbye, good. All right, Shmuel, those are incredible socks. I'm just mentioning for the Kohanim over here, right? I'm not, because I made my whole sock discussion. Good, again. As I said, I'm looking forward to seeing those in Dochen and Meretz Hashem. Let's go back to I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rabbi Chista. It's right in my view. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Zera. I'm more sensitive now because we're doing the Sugya. I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rabbi Chista. Eina kohanim rashel lahatshap neim in atzibor, ad shliyaskil shliach tzibor b'sim shalom. Shabbos say, this is fascinating. The Kohanim, Shabbos say, so remember again, the Kohanim finished Dochen, right? Shalom, we've said, right? They finished Shalom, we the Israelites, we've said Amen. The Kohanim maintained their posture with hands extended as well until when? Sim Shalom. Right? So the Shia Zibor says Sim Shalom. At that point, they turn around. Now, remember going backwards, they turn around, facing the Aron, what do they do when they turn around? Relax their fingers. Achaz Shia Zibor is Sim Shalom. The Einan Rashayin Laka Raglein Velelech. Ad shiigmor shliach tzibor sim shalom. And I will say, it's interesting. So we'll discuss this as well. The minog, we have the minog, that the kohanim remain up by the aron until the end of kaddish. The truth is, the ikar halacha is, they just have to stay there until the end of chazaras hashatz. Right? As right after the chazaras hamarecha samar yisrael shalom, technically speaking, kohanim dismissed. Well, we'll see why they stay until the end of Kaddish. It's really a din in Kaddish. It's not a din in Birchas Kohanim. But technically speaking, right after Chazaras HaShatz is over, ultimately, again, Kohanim have the ability to descend, so to speak. I'll just point out something amazing. What do you see from all of this? What you see is a high level of choreography. Because Rabbi say, what it teaches you is something really amazing. If you think about it, and this is truly beautiful, it's very reminiscent of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, everything was also highly choreographed. Why? Because the closer one is to the Shekhinah, the more careful one has to be with every move. In other words, the closer you are to Hashem, the less room there is for error. And therefore, again, everything has to be highly choreographed. And we see, and what happens when it's not highly choreographed? Tragedy. The story of Nadav and Avihu. Rava say, right? Nadav and Avihu had beautiful intentions. They wanted to do all the right things. But Lamaisa, you don't break with the choreography in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rava say, what's really very exciting about this is the fact that we see this high level of choreography by Berachas. Literally, again, let's say, it's like, turn here, right? Start here, walk here, right? It's so highly choreographed. Start, move your feet here, walk up over here, say this here, turn around here, extend your fingers here. Why is it exciting? Why is it exciting? What does it show us? What does it show us? The Shekhinah is really present. The Shekhinah is really present. That during Birchas Kohanim Rabbah say there is something that occurs that doesn't occur during any other time. There's a palpable presence of the Shekhinah that joins us. And because that Rabbah say, everything is so precise. It's really, if you think about it, it's really incredibly exciting. There's no other time where you have this heightened level of precision like you have during Dochani. So Mara goes back to Amar Vizir, Amar Chista, Eina Tzibar, Rashay Lanos Amen, Asher Tichla Bracha Mipiakori. So we'll say, so now this is, now I will say, we're transitioning now towards Kriyas HaTorah. So similarly again, so ultimately again, the Tzibar should not answer Amen until the person who got the Aliyah finishes his Bracha. The Baal Korei should not start laning until Amen is finished from the Tzibor. The Torgamon, I will say, right? Remember again, you said the Torgamon. There'd be a Baal Korei, right? You'd read a Pasuk or two or whatever, and right now, the Torgamon would then go ahead and translate. The Torgamon should not begin his translation ultimately again until the Baal Korei finishes his Pasuk. Then a korei rashi lahaskuba pasuk acher achich le'targum piar torgamon, and ultimately again the Baal Korei should not go ahead and begin the next pasuk until the Torgamon finishes translating. So I'll say, by the way, I'll just mention with, so again same yisod. But I'll say this is very important because especially for a shliach tzibor should not move on with the next section of davening until the tzibor finishes saying amen. Or sometimes it happens, right? The shliach tzibor finishes the bracha, amen, and before the tzibor finishes amen, the shliach tzibor is off. You have to wait. You just have to, okay, what is it? It's 2 seconds, right? 3 seconds, right? Not even, right? The shliach tzibor just has to wait before going to the next section, ultimately wait for amen to be finished. Well, as I said, again, it's a beautiful idea. The idea is, whatever, let's say it's also a din, by the way, in being present. And whatever it is that you're doing, right? That's the thing I was really saying over here. Okay, so the Baal Korei is reading. So Torgamon, finish it off before you start the next thing. Torgamon's translating Baal Korei. Let him finish it before this. Sibor said, Ame, wait. Let's say he had two lessons. Number one, whatever you start, finish. And number two, whatever you're doing, be fully present in that particular activity. Next, Aru Shem Levi. Hamafje ben Navi. So Shikir Batar Tchila. Interesting halacha. I will say, the person who reads Daf Torah, we actually saw this in Maseches Megillah, right? The person who goes out and gets the reads Daf Torah has to first read in the Torah itself, which I will say means the person who gets Daf Torah must first get an Aliyah as well. I will say that's why we do the concept of Maftir, right? What is Maftir? Maftir is an add-on. It's an add-on. Remember again, the Halach is on Shabbos. So it's seven Aliyahs. So where does Maftir come from? Here. Maftir comes from the person who's going to read that Torah should first read in the Torah. Vam Rabbi Tanakh from Rishon ben Levi. Rabbi Tanakh was in there, Rishon ben Levi. Good. Ein HaMaftir, Rashay LaHaftir ben Avi, Ad Shigal Sefer Torah. The person beginning the Haftorah should not begin until the Sefer Torah is wrapped up. So it was interesting. Don't start the Haftorah until Galila is complete. And I'm saying, here's what's interesting. Why? It says, according to Rashi, you see, I would have thought that it's like a din in Kavarat Torah. Right? Let the Torah be fully covered before I begin the Haftorah. Rashi says, no, actually what it is if you start the Haftorah before you finish Galila, then what's going to happen? The people doing Hagban Galila are not going to have a chance to listen to the full Haftorah. So therefore, let the process finish first. This is everyone hears. Shabbos said, by the way, I learned something startling, amazing. You're supposed to listen to the Haftorah. Right? Whoever knew such a thing like this? Right? It's such a chiddush. Apparently, Haftorah is not just free time. We always thought, right, it was a break in between Kriyas HaTorah and Musaf. Right? Apparently, one is supposed to actually listen. Right? By the way, I'm sappy I learned this stuff. I would have lived my whole life. I thought it was like break time. Right? Let's say, so the mice again, it's incredible. So you see from here, something amazing. Wait to start the Haftarah until Galila is finished in order to be able to go ahead and have everyone listen to the Haftarah. Incredible. This is actually quite interesting. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi lahafshit es ateva b'tzibor, listen to this. Kozman shat tzibor bebeis haknesses. I will say, this is fascinating. When the tzibor was in shul, shayadarkam lahavi seva torah mibayis achar shetishtamer bo lebeis haknesses. I will say, it used to be, they would not keep the Sefer Torah in shul. Why? For security purposes. So rather, what they would do is they would keep the Sefer Torah like at an off-site secure location. And then what would happen? Right? What would happen is then when it was shul, when it was time to daven, they would bring the Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesses. Right? The obvious is, I have Shemishtarabah, the Beis HaKnesses, Uparsim, Begadim, Naim, Samavateva, Umanichin, Oso, Besocha. So what would happen? They would put like beautiful garments, right? Like shawls. Let's say it seems to be much more like in line with Sephardic practice than Ashkenazic practice. I must say sometimes you see like by the Sephardic Sifrei Torah that they'll tie onto the Torah itself, right, to the actual case. Beautiful scarves, and beautiful things. So it sounds like what they used to do is they would decorate the Aron with beautiful garments and beautiful scarves. So they would bring the Torah from an off-site location. Put the Torah in the Aron, decorate the Aron with beautiful scarves, and what would happen? Then davening was over. So we'll say, then when davening was over, they would take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, back to the secure location. We'll say, what else would they do? They would take the scarves off of the Aron. So what is the Gemara saying? Lo yafshitu abegadim in hateba b'fnei atzibor shetorach tzibor la'akov sham im sefer Torah ela molech sefer Torah lebeiso umanichol va'am yotzim acharav ve'achar kach lubam mashas. So listen to this. What it's saying is like this. Don't go ahead and take the scarves off the sefer Torah while the tzibor is still there. Rather, again, what should you do? I will say, take the sefer Torah out. Right? Let the tzibor follow the sefer Torah out. And then after everyone has left, then go ahead and remove the scarves from the Sefer Torah. Mipnei Kavod Tzibor. Ultimately, again, this is called Kavod Tzibor. What's another interesting halacha? Tzibor should not leave until the Sefer Torah is taken out of the shul and put in its place. In other words, so this is the idea. Don't leave before the Sefer Torah. I just want to point out, this is operating with the idea that the Torah is not remaining in the Aron, right? So the Torah is going to be taken out of the shul. So the idea is, you shouldn't leave the shul before the Sefer Torah is taken out of the shul. Ushmuel Amar Achi Yetze. And Shmuel says, ultimately, again, here's what Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Ein atzibur rasha ilah says, Achi nata Sefer Torah, V'yaniach bimkomo. So Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying something more. Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying is, you shouldn't leave the shul until the Sefer Torah has been taken out of the shul and what? Placed in its secure location. Shmuel says, no, you don't need that. You just can't leave the shul before the Sefer Torah leaves the shul. In other words, Shmuel says, you don't need the Sefer Torah to be in this secure location. The idea just is, you shouldn't leave the shul before the Sefer Torah leaves the shul. But once Yerazar leaves the shul, ultimately you can leave. But we'll say they're not arguing. Hadika pischachrina, hadlaka pischachrina. So we'll say it's actually interesting. Really, what they're not arguing, and they're talking about two different situations. One is where there's only one exit. One is where there's two exits. So we'll say, if there's only one exit, you should not leave before the Sefer Torah leaves. But Lamai said, if there's more than one exit, then technically, again, you could leave as long as it's not for the same exit as the Sefer Torah. Take a look at Rashi. Ika pischach rina, mishanatal Sefer Torah, lot says derech pischo. So I will say, ultimately, again, if there's another exit, then once the Sefer Torah has been taken out through its exit, harot se lot says bepesach ocher yotze, fa'afidu lo yotze Sefer Torah, leka pischach rina, nachon sheitzi Sefer Torah tchila, lo yetze the pesach ocher. So I will say, what I'm suggesting is like this. If halacha lemaisa, there's only one exit, then in reality you should wait until the Sefer Torah is taken out and put in its secure location. But if there's more than one exit, then as long as the Sefer Torah has been taken out, then what? You could leave as well. You could leave as well. We'll see. The contemporary application of this really is that a person should not leave while the Sefer Torah is out. But rather, again, if a person does need to leave early, a person should try to wait until the Sefer Torah is put back in the Aron, and then and only then should a person leave. Again, we'll see this in just a moment. Amar, as we say, we have another 2 minutes. Let's go weiter. So we'll say, Amar Rava Bar Ahino Asabrali. Sorry. Amar Rava. Bar Ahino Asabrali. Bar Ahino explained to me. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. We'll say, so ultimately the Pasuk says, you should walk after Hashem. You should walk after Hashem. What does this mean? Bizman shakohanim barchim esha'am mahein omrim. So this is beautiful. Now, we've been speaking about in Berchas Kohanim what the Kohanim are supposed to do. But what are the Israelim supposed to do? And by the way, it's not just Israelim. I see Israelim, it's everyone is not a Kohen. So Levim, Israelim, those of us who are on the receiving end of the bracha, what are we supposed to be doing during Berchas Kohanim? Right? What should we be doing? So the Gemara is, my name, Amrav Zera, Amrav Chisna, Baruch Hashem Alachav Gibore Koach, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav, Mishar Sav Osei Ritzono, Baruch Hashem Kol Ma'asav, Bechol Mekomos Mem Shalto, Baruch Hi Nafshi Es Hashem. Okay, so we'll say, so these are the psukim ultimately again that we recite. All the recitation ultimately again from Tehillim chapter 103. Amrav Asi, I'm sorry, B'musvei Deshav Samahin Omrim. What about Musaf on Shabbos? Rashi says, "Or Musa the Shabso, Shu Nesias Kapayim Chadash She'ino Bechol Tzarech LeChadish Es Divrei Am." So, we'll say, what about Nesias Kapayim? So, what about Duchening on Shabbos, where again that's a different experience than during the week? What should we be saying then? To which the Gemara says, "Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem." Sorry, Ma'ayin Omrim Amravasi Shira Malos Hine Baruch Es Hashem Cholav De Hashem Su Dechen Kodesh Baruch Es Hashem Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shochin Shem Haluka. Leimanami Yivarecha Hashem Itzion Tichsev Bahu Inyana. Person could say also Yivarecha Shabbos. These were all just again. I think our minog is that it's not usually recited. Right? We usually again. I will say we'll discuss again the whole thing with the dreams, the Ribono Shalom with the dreams about why that has a place in Berachas Kohanim. But it seems to be again contemporary practice is that we don't really have these psukim. The truth is, I take it back. You will find psukim printed in the Siddurim that are often said as responsive psukim. So Amar Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shimon Pazi Mitok Shiska Brechosav Shalak Hashem Baruch Hu Mesayim Brechos. Actually, we'll say no. We'll do. Let's stop over here for today. We'll stop with this Amar Yehuda. So we'll say. So again, we'll pick up with this sugya tomorrow and ultimately delve a little bit more into the response of Yisraelim during Berachos. So we'll say incredible. It's only Sunday, and Mamashia will say dramatic Gemara tomorrow as well. Dramatic tomorrow. Everybody will say, what a start to the week. Halavai, in the Schus of Osei, of starting the week with Birchas Kohanim, which represents a tremendous Hashras Hashchina, we should be Zochei Amiyas Hashem to a week in which we feel in a palpable fashion the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam in our lives. Shkoyach. All right, have a great day, everyone.